Welcome back to Trivial Warfare. We're the show that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with my friends Mark. Say hello, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Chip.
Good afternoon.
Carmella.
Hello.
And Kel.
What's happening?
Man, we have three distinguished guests here, but you notice that we're missing one of our primary guys. We're missing Chris today. Chris is off in... He's driving across America, visiting his fiancée's family up in Illinois. So Chris won't be with us. And I decided we needed to have multiple people to replace Chris. Now, you know, when I told him that, he said, well, don't you think that sounds cocky? He said, people are going to think you thought you needed three people to challenge you on a three-on-one. And I said, well, Chris, it's not that I need three people to play against me. I needed three people to replace you. And then he turned bright red and kind of blushed. Chris is very humble, so we miss you, Chris. We wish you were here.
I don't think he bought it.
You know?
No. Nope.
All right, so we usually start off with a little bit about what interesting things have happened in our lives. And I just got back from Canada. Have any of y'all been to Canada?
No.
Yep.
Yes?
All right, I went to Canada on a cruise, left New York City and arrived in Quebec City about 10 days later.
Oh, where they all speak French?
They speak a lot of French, but they also are pretty much bilingual, a lot of English spoken there. Yeah. So I got along fine with that.
Well, that's cool. Carmella, have you ever been to Canada?
No, I've never been to Canada.
No? Oh, you're missing out there. Kel?
Happily, no.
Hey, boo. Actually, so I went for work, but I did get to spend a day at Niagara Falls, and I want to do... two shout-outs to a couple of people that I met. The first one is Sabi. Sabi was my tour guide for Niagara Falls, and I'm hoping that he's listening. I'm not sure, but this guy could be on our show. He could be one of us. He was throwing trivia down right and left. Everywhere we looked, he's like, in the War of 1812, this general lived here, and he did this battle, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Sabi was very, very bright. So shout-out to Sabi and his 9-year-old brilliant daughter, who we talked about. So I made friends with Sabi. Also, you guys remember that when I talked about going to Vegas a while back, I talked about kind of having a paradigm shift in the article on the website and kind of being more extroverted and meeting people and putting myself out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess who asked a flight attendant out for drinks?
What? Really?
Really?
Wow.
I couldn't help myself.
Chris has the guts to do that.
So I couldn't help myself. She's a pretty lady, and she called herself Red while doing the announcements. That's how she referred to herself. So I was already kind of chatting with her a little bit, but when she called herself Red, it was just like, oh, that's attractive. And then she was making jokes throughout the presentation. You know, the flight attendants have to do their presentation. And so I couldn't help my, exactly, all the, and the exits are here, 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 and here. I couldn't help myself. So I gave her, I wrote my name on one of our Trivial Warfare cards, and I gave it to her and said, hey, if you're ever back in town, you can reach out to me in these different ways. Also listen to the show. So Red, if you're listening, I hope you are. Love to get together sometime. We'll see how that works out.
The only loss is if you don't try.
Ah. All right, so without Chris here, it's going to be hard to do Warm It Up Chris, but we do have a Chip. So warm it up, Chip.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
Thank you, Jonathan.
You're getting your toes licked by a cat right now.
Yes, I've noticed that.
And you're just talking right through it.
I can sort of tell. I have the distinction of being Chris's Uncle Chip.
Oh.
I'm going to challenge you folks with the portmanteau movie quiz.
So what book are you using?
This is Uncle John's Heavy Duty Bathroom Reader by the Bathroom Readers Institute.
Okay, sounds good to
and
me.
And a portmanteau is a word that results from two other words being combined. So what this is doing is this is going to take and give you plot lines of two movies, and then you need to combine the title of the two movies into one title.
Carmella, can you see the answers from where you're sitting? Can you try harder? Because we're in this together. It's all four of us trying to get these answers.
It's, I think, a pretty neat little challenge here. All right, number one, a ragtag group of Midwestern teenagers band together get their dad's guns and fight off a surprise aerial attack from Russian communist zombies who want their eat to their delicious teenage brains.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Well, so what's the first movie, guys?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. What's the second movie?
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, I think it's Red Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. Red Dawn of the Dead is correct. Is correct. Okay, the second one, a corporate axeman played by George Clooney spends most of his time flying around the country terminating redundant employees.
Mm-hmm.
Disenchanted, he thinks he might want to settle into a life of more permanence when he falls in love with a golden retriever who plays basketball.
So what's the second one?
Air Bud.
I do too. Air Bud.
And the first one's Up in the Air.
Up in the Air, yeah. Bud.
Oh, beautiful.
You know,
beautiful.
I was watching Pitch Perfect a couple of weeks ago. Chris finally talked me into watching it. And I looked up Anna Kendrick's previous roles because I thought she was cute. And so I ran into Up in the Air. That's the only reason I would have gotten that.
And everybody seemed to get Air Bud, which is the one I was a little surprised at.
So. Oh, Air Bud. Man, that's a classic. Oh.
Okay, now I've got a couple more that I want to do here, and let's see what we do on this one. Billionaire industrialist Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr., builds a metal suit that gives him superhuman powers and uses it to create a new identity for himself, Don Quixote, an elderly knight who wanders the medieval Spanish countryside in search of adventure while singing The Impossible Dream.
All right, so everyone knows the first one is
Iron Man.
Who knows the subtitle to Don Quixote? Oh, so I'm the only one?
The Man in the Iron Mask?
No, it's Iron Man of La Mancha.
Oh.
You are correct, sir. I like that one, too.
That's awesome. All right, one more.
All right, one more. Now, this one is a triple.
Oh, a
this
triple?
It has three movie subplots, and it ends up with three actual titles moshed together. The head of a New York organized crime family, Marlon Brando, must contend with a son who does not wish to enter the family business, all the while having to deal with the many mishaps in the lead-up to the wedding of his daughter to a monster, Boris Karloff, that was made by a German scientist out of reanimated corpse pieces.
So we have
The Godfather, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And Father of the Bride.
Father of the Bride, I was there.
And Bride of Frankenstein.
Yep. The Godfather of the Bride of Frankenstein.
Of Frankenstein.
Yeah. Nice. Good job, guys.
Nice. You nailed them all.
All right, I think, Mark, I think we're ready for you, my friend. I think it's time to rumble.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
All right, so just so you guys know, it's going to be a normal game where it's three rounds of three questions each in the first round, a midpoint question. Then there's going to be another three rounds of three questions each, a final question where we can wager any or all of what we've earned. The questions will be worth roughly 10 points each. The midpoint, you can earn up to 20, and then the final, you can wager it all. And in our episode here, this is going to be a three-on-one group handicap match. So these three, Chip, Carmella, and Kel, will be able to work together, and I will be operating solo. All right, Mark, take us away.
First question of round one. Television is the category. First premiering in 1987 on the Discovery Channel, what annual celebration will begin this year on July 5th?
Okay, I have my answer.
I think it's pretty obvious it's Shark Week.
I'm fairly certain it's Shark Week.
I'm going to go Shark Week.
All right, I wrote down Shark Week.
Shark Week is correct.
All right.
Good job. A little easy to start the game out.
Yeah, every single person knew that one. Nobody questioned it all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All right, second question, scandals. Who was Bob Woodward's secret Watergate contact?
Now, if we're trying to talk about the actual individual, I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know his name either.
If we're talking about his code name.
Yep, that's what we're looking at.
Ready?
Yep.
Deep Throat.
Deep Throat.
Yeah, you guys are gross. No, it's Deep Throat. I'm good with that.
Yep. Yep, Deep Throat.
I'm glad you brought the easy questions with you today, Mark.
Yeah, it starts out easy. It gets a little tougher.
What was his real name? He was an FBI guy.
I don't have any idea.
That's all I know.
That might have been harder of you to ask who Woodward's partner was. Do you guys know that?
Yeah, Bernstein.
Bernstein,
that's right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll finish out the easy round. Science is your category.
Science.
What is the outermost layer of the skin called?
Okay,
you did bring out the easy ones this time, didn't you?
No, it gets worse.
You know, guys?
I'm fairly certain it's the epidermis.
You can talk about it without trying to say it together.
But, I mean, well, we like to, so, you know.
I mean, if we...
Well, like you didn't ask if Carmella agreed.
You can harmonize or something.
Did you agree it was epidermis?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, keep pitching the softballs.
I said epidermis.
That would be the epidermis.
So, Kel, you're a science teacher, right?
No, sir. I am a history teacher.
Oh, I was about to say, the first time you missed a science question, we're all going to laugh and point, but I guess
we can do that anyway.
Oh, we're going to laugh and point the first time that he misses a history question.
Well, allegedly, I'm certified to teach all of those subjects. You know, jack of all trades, master of none.
And he's also a college referee for football.
So in case we have any questions about visual signals.
Yes, he's
like,
the man.
What does this signal mean?
It's a push away from the table.
All right. So at the end of round one, we are tied at 30 apiece.
All right.
Okay. Next.
That was literally the easiest first round that we've had on the show so far.
I agree. It was. From all listenings, it sounds like it was.
All right. Your next category, round two, we start off with sports.
All right.
Vincenzo Nibali won what race last July, becoming the first Italian to do so in 16 years?
I was going to say Gesundheit.
Do either of you guys have an idea?
Mark, I'd like you to restate the question, please. You don't have to say his name.
Vincenzo Bellatoni.
Vincenzo Nibali won what race last July, becoming the first Italian to do so in 16 years?
Those are not dog years either. Those are real years.
Yep.
Since it's July, that makes it a little bit more challenging. I was thinking the 500, Indianapolis 500, but that's this weekend, so it certainly isn't in May. July, marathon in July? When's the New York City Marathon?
No clue. But car race is what I'm thinking, too.
How about the date? No, it wouldn't be the Daytona 500.
Monaco, Formula One.
All right, let's do it.
You all good?
Right. Yeah, I'm good.
Monaco, Formula One.
The Grand Prix. Right.
I said the Tour de France.
Jonathan takes the lead with the Tour de France.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's July for you.
The auto race. I didn't have any idea about the year, but nationality, I don't think people care too much about car racing nationality, but they care about Tour de France nationality.
Oh, they
it's
do,
like
absolutely.
Olympic style kind of stuff.
Good point. Good point. Next category, shopping. What retail furniture store is designed like a maze in order to encourage shoppers to see the entire store before checking out?
All right.
We're going to have Carmella tell us.
I don't know.
Oh, that is so stereotypical.
It is a little stereotypical.
Yes, really, old man.
Do you want her to sweep and do the dishes
answer,
too?
Dude.
I do know the answer because I can take an Allen wrench in there and work it on everything.
It sounds like something IKEA would do.
Oh, it is what
it is.
And then they have these sticky buns when you get to the checkout, so you'll spend even more money buying food.
Which sticky buns?
IKEA.
I wasn't 100% sure, but I have been in the IKEA down in Orlando, and I almost got lost. Everywhere I turn, it's like, oh, I want to check that out, and I get over there, and then I'm like, where the heck am I? So I said IKEA.
Yep, it is IKEA.
The coolest thing at IKEA is the actual small apartments you can buy there that are about the size of my master bathroom.
I think that's cool for us to look at, but I'm betting the people that are buying them don't think they're that cool.
Probably not, no.
No, like, I can't believe I have to buy this stupid thing. Because you have to put your whole freaking room together. I mean, can you imagine?
Point. Yes, with one Allen wrench.
Right. All right, finishing out the round with movies, Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger co-starred in an installment of which horror movie series?
Now, you guys know that Chris picks on me all the time for not knowing movies.
Yeah, and I don't like the fact that you wrote so quickly.
So while he's not here, let's see if I can prove him wrong. We'll see here.
Okay, Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger. What horror movie franchise would it be? Saw.
No, they're not that. That's pretty gruesome.
Yes, it is.
Going to go with I Know What You Did Last Summer, that franchise. But that's a shot in the dark. It wasn't Scream, but I'm going to go with I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Do you guys agree with him? Any other thoughts there?
I honestly have no idea. It's not a movie that came out while I worked at the movie theater for 3 years. So I'm going to go with Kel because I have no other answer.
You said it isn't Scream, But now they kill off almost the entire cast and every screen.
Poor Drew Barrymore bought it in like the first 5 minutes of the franchise.
All right, so we'll go with Kel on this.
Oh, and it's a shot in the dark.
So what was your answer?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
That franchise.
All right.
I believe that Matthew McConaughey played Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The wrong character, but it was the right series.
Texas Chainsaw. Yep. So who did he play in the movie if it wasn't Leatherface?
He was another character, like one of the dysfunctional family members.
But he wasn't Leatherface himself?
Nope.
Okay.
1994, The Next Generation, the movie was.
Was he in the same one?
Or they were in the same movie together.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Was he driving a Lincoln?
And he was the attorney for the family.
The
as
only
well,
horror yeah. movie that I know with Matthew McConaughey, and it was Frailty. So, and that's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I bet that was better than Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with it was.
Make it so.
All right. Scoring update after round two. Jonathan is in the lead, 60-40.
Wow.
All right.
Impressive, Mr. Oates.
Round three, literature. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, is the opening line from what famous literary work?
So they're looking at each other, whispering, and they all like held up their fingers like, oh, I know. All right, what do you guys think the answer is?
It was either Lolita or it was A Tale of Two Cities, right?
Well, it's definitely not Lolita.
you don't think Nabokov can write that well?
Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah.
So for me, it was either Great Expectations or A Tale of Two Cities. I wasn't 100% sure because I've read them both and I can't really blend together, but I did say A Tale of Two Cities.
Man.
Yep. Both teams are right. Tale of Two Cities.
It's the only reason I went with it. I remembered it being like a dichotomy, best of times, worst of times, London, Paris. And so I just kind of.
I will say this, though. Thursday night when we were at Mark's Trivia, I made the comment that, ooh, we got a perfect game going. And Chris said, you never say that. Jonathan's got a perfect game going.
And I think this next question might be where it stops.
Oh, that's so mean.
Just predicting. Holmes is your next category.
You think you know me?
They don't call me Nostromarcus for nothing.
Oh, God.
Holmes, what is the third most visited home in the United States behind the White House and Graceland?
I'm going to take a minute to think about this one. I know another home that is a tourist attraction, but I don't know that it would be like the third most visited. You would think that would be for somebody famous.
You would think so. If it's most visited, it's most likely not like Jimmy Johnson Smith.
Well, Jimmy Johnson would be a great home to visit. Oh, NASCAR driver. Three car.
Mikey Nicholson. From fourth grade.
You want me to name the home itself, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I have three possibles.
Two of them are presidents?
No, but that adds another one. Okay, Hyde Park was Roosevelt's home. That's the president I was thinking of. San Simeon was William Randolph Hearst's home on coastal California near San Francisco. And then, of course, the other one is the Biltmore House in Asheville, North Carolina. All of those.
I like Biltmore, but I was also thinking Monticello.
Oh, good call.
And why not throw in, who's that dude in Key West with the beard and was a poet?
Hemingway?
Yeah, that guy.
With the six-toed cats.
With the six-toed cats.
Right.
Which you'll see a video on last week's show notes, I believe. Pretty sure it's out there.
I think Kel hit with Monticello. What do you think, Carmel?
Well, I kind of hope it was someone like a president instead of some celebrity. That would make me feel better.
Rich guy.
Some rich guy.
You mean like Vanderbilt?
Do you guys want to go with Monticello?
Monticello it is.
So when I was thinking about it, it came down to three for me as well. The Biltmore was one of them. That was the one I thought I was going to go with at first. Actually, it came down to four because then I hit presidents, same as you guys did, and Monticello and Mount Vernon both jumped into mind. I've been to both. Mm-hmm. And the other one was Edison's house, which full of inventions, really interesting.
Which one? The one in Fort Myers?
Yeah, actually. Isn't there another one up Menlo Park or something like that?
That's not a home, though. That was his lab.
That was his lab.
And that is still there. Yeah.
It's the one in South Florida.
Actually, that lab was moved piece by piece to the Henry Ford Museum, Greenfield Village, outside of Detroit.
That's another one it could have been. I've been to Ford's house, and that's a neat one, too. But I went with Monticello, the same as you guys did.
Well, the Biltmore's on the list, and so is Neverland.
Oh, Michael Jackson's place?
But ahead of both.
I was thinking, but you know, I was hashtag too soon. I don't know.
Hashtag gross.
Just above both of them is Monticello.
Yes, good job.
So we didn't gain any ground. The one you said was going to bust it all wide open, and we didn't gain any ground.
Like I said, you don't know me.
That's right. Yep.
I've been to a lot of those, actually. The only one I haven't
been to.
You've
been to Neverland Ranch?
No, when I was a boy. When I was a kid. I don't talk about it.
When you said Holmes, I was thinking you were talking like, what are you talking about, Holmes?
All right. Finishing out round three, music within 2 years either way. What year was the song Purple Haze by the Jimi Hendrix Experience released?
Chip was there.
He doesn't remember.
He doesn't remember it, though. No. He's in a haze. Oh, man. At first, I thought you were asking about Purple Rain. I was like, oh, good. All right. Early 80s. No. Purple Haze. I like Jimi Hendrix's music, but I really don't know very much all about when he was doing it. So I'm going to miss this one almost certainly. All right. I've written mine down.
Okay. One of the things to consider is he actually died pretty early in the.
That only helps if you knew when he was born.
Coming to mind for me is like 1967.
That's what I was thinking.
Me too, because I knew it was going to be somewhere in the mid-60s.
Yeah. So, and that gives us a range of 65 to 69. So,
right.
So I say 67.
You guys are all on board with that?
All on board.
Yes.
What did you say?
So I said 1970 because I wanted to cover Woodstock and the year before Woodstock because I believe he performed there. I don't know if this is one of the songs he played, though. So I wanted to cover the early 70s. So I said 1970.
Purple Haze came out in 1967.
Oh, wow. Y'all nailed it on the nose.
Yep. 70s too late.
I was 1 year off. I should have said 69. Ah.
So much for that perfect game.
I wasn't talking about a perfect game. That was you and your big mouth.
Oh, it worked, didn't it?
Going into the halftime question, Jonathan, 80. The triplets, 70.
Triplets that look nothing alike.
Yes, I resemble that remark.
Separated at birth.
All right. So your halftime question. Name the four Major League Baseball teams that announcer Harry Carey called games for during his broadcasting career.
Holy crap. Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
He was around virtually forever.
All right, I've written down four, but I'm going to think I got two right here, just guessing, but I probably maybe just got one.
Well, let me tell you what Kel wrote down. The obvious one, I think everybody, Carmel, I don't know if you know this or not, but is the Chicago...
Well, you're stereotyping some
more, right?
I know. Woman doesn't know baseball.
Chip the misogynist.
All right, Chicago Cubs.
Hi, everybody!
With the heaviest pair of glasses ever known to man.
Right. So what else do you guys have?
Kel also thought...
I've got St. Louis Cardinals.
And the Diamondbacks.
Well, it was in Arizona, probably a AAA team, but I thought he'd done for a team down in Arizona at one time.
The only thing that I could think of is another really classic older team for years back, and I was thinking perhaps it would have been the Brooklyn Dodgers, but I'm not basing that on any real knowledge.
You want to throw the White Sox in there just because they were in the same town?
Well, let's go with Cubs.
Cubs, Cards.
And the White Sox.
White Sox?
Yeah, and let's just throw Brooklyn Dodgers out because we need four.
So I used the same logic and said Cubs and White Sox because maybe he filled in one day. I didn't think it was the Cardinals, even though that would have made sense because they had Jack Buck. And so I didn't say Dodgers because of Vin Scully, and I didn't say the Phillies because of Harry Callis. Those were the ones I was eliminating, right? So I went with the Braves. I was thinking maybe when they were in Milwaukee, and the Indians. Those were the ones I went with. So I said Cubs, White Sox, Braves, and Indians. All right, so Mark, what do we have, brother?
All right, we have the St. Louis Cardinals. The Oakland A's.
Really?
Yep, he went out there for a brief stint. Then the White Sox.
So he did do the White Sox.
And the Cubs.
You got three out of four.
They got three.
We didn't make much ground up, though.
Oh, but he got a lot closer.
I hate to give Rush Limbaugh credit for that, but that's actually how I knew it was the Cards.
So do you listen to Rush Limbaugh?
For entertainment purposes only.
Then why do you hate to give him credit if you listen to him? It's like, you know, I listen to you, but I don't like you. And I don't want to be associated with you.
Oh, no, it's not that I dislike
the guy. Is that how you feel about our show? Is that how you feel about our show? It's like, I listen to you, but I don't want anything to do with you.
Only when I scream that you guys don't know that the Mexicans beat the French.
Are you still going on about that?
Yes, I am.
Mark, when was he with the Cardinals?
First.
Okay, that was
aside from that, you're just guessing.
So that was the earliest of his career.
I do have them in order.
If people want to know, they can check the show notes, and it'll be out there.
Okay, I do have them in order. Thank
you. We'll have the dates out there. And they'll find those show notes at trivialwarfare.com.
Yep, good plug.
Cha-ching.
After the halftime question, your scoring update. We've got Chip Carmella and Kel with 85 and Jonathan with 90. Okay, round four. First question is a history question. Who led the Million Man March on Washington?
Which one?
Don't be that guy.
All right, I have my answer down.
My guess is Al Sharpton.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Carmella?
Because it's right.
Oh. Yeah, Al Sharpton.
If that's right, then I'm wrong because I said Farrakhan.
It is Big Lou Farrakhan.
I didn't use his first name. I thought it was Louis Farrakhan, but I didn't want to say his first name in case I was wrong. I spelled it Khan too at the end. All right, so I got my lead back.
There you go.
Back in the more desirable
position.
I'd like
to note my curriculum doesn't go past 1888.
Oh, well, that's right. Kel just missed a history question. Everybody, point and laugh.
If you're playing the at-home drinking game, it's time to take a drink.
That's not fair because history's my strong suit, too, and I missed it as well.
Do you know what's funny? Chris actually sent me a text the other day, and he said, we should popularize a drinking game. Any time where you say game theory, people have to take a drink.
But they won't hear the end of the show.
Oh, my God.
Incidentally, I got a text with a picture from Chris. And the reason he took the picture is it was Metropolis, Illinois.
I got that too, yeah.
You did.
He sent me one from Kel.
From Kel? Oh,
apparently the city there's Kel? A Kel, a city of Kel.
You should move there. You could be one? The mayor.
I didn't get a text from Chris.
Oh,
so.
Oh.
Sorry, Carmella.
Thanks, Chris.
I can't wait for him to hear this now.
Round four, question two. Money in the 90s.
What money, year? Money, 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 money.
What year did the U.S. Mint begin distributing the 50 state quarters?
Oh, God.
You're welcome.
Thanks. You know, my stepmother has like four full sets of those. They used to have those little things you could put them in.
Yeah, the books. Everybody started them, and then nobody finished them.
She finished the heck out of them. I never even tried. Every time I started getting more than like five, I bought a Coke.
Yeah.
Bonus if we know the first one?
No.
That's the easy
first one's
one.
Easy. All right, I wrote
it's
mine
Puerto
down.
Puerto Rico.
I wrote mine down.
Okay, so it was the last year of the 90s. It was 1999.
Why do you think that?
Wait, do they see if they agree with you?
Involved? Oh, I totally agree with that.
That's what we say.
Well, okay, so I figured it might have something to do with the Olympics, just kind of going American spirit, so I said 96.
Okay.
Way to be wrong.
Oh. Wow.
I probably am. I didn't have much of a chance. It was a 1 in 10 chance.
Well, apparently they didn't need a window on it. It was 1999.
Oh, man. I'd like to point out that I was high in the late 90s, and so I don't remember those things.
Well, that's what you get for inhaling.
Oh, well.
So what made
I had more fun.
What made you guys remember
you
that it was 99?
That was Kel, I think, wasn't it? No, Carmella, Carmella was comfortable with it.
Yeah, but
way
what?
Go.
So, yeah, it's great. Yes, we know you know, but how did you know?
Because I was 12 and there was nothing else better for me to do than collect quarters.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's an answer for you.
She was a numismatist at an early age.
Hmm. Say that three times fast.
No, it's hard.
That three times fast.
Oh, well done. I wish I was that quick.
Finishing out round four, state capitals. What is the easternmost state capital in the United States?
London.
Oh, yeah, that's where the Jags play their home games.
Hey, exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. God, this has got to be a trick question.
Kel thought Augusta, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a thought on it, Carmel?
Well, it does stick out pretty far to the east, but that's the only thing I can think of.
My concern is that...
Boston.
If you take a look at how the coastal United States works, Jacksonville's way in, and then you head back out to the Carolinas, Virginia, that sort of thing, then it kind of dips back in again. So Boston came to mind, but I actually was thinking Annapolis, Maryland.
May I suggest arm wrestling for it?
Arm wrestling for it?
Yeah, you and Carmella versus, or no, Carmella and Kel versus you.
Oh, that would go well.
So as a team, you guys have to make a decision which way you're going to go.
And I do agree with what you say about Boston, because Augusta, Maine is not on the coast. It's in the interior of the state.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, yeah. Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
I like...
Oh, not the lizard, Spock.
Come on!
No, my kids... No.
Be more comfortable. I would be more comfortable with Boston.
All right.
Yeah, just...
Boston?
Okay.
Boston.
So as I was debating it in my head, I was thinking the same thing you were, Chip. I believe, like, longitudinally... We're not straight. We kind of angle upwards like mm-hmm. this. And so I had to have that same decision of, is it a New England state? Is it Annapolis? Or is it a Rhode Island's capital, which for some reason I can't remember the capital
Providence.
Of Rhode Island.
Providence.
Because I believe Rhode Island,
too, though.
Yeah, Rhode Island's further east than Maryland is. So I was thinking it could be that, but I went with Augusta, Maine,
It'll probably be Dover, Delaware.
Because I could not. I couldn't even up in my head which one it was, so I said Augusta.
Well, Boston's not the state capital. That'd be Springfield.
Springfield is.
Yeah.
Wait, Springfield, Massachusetts?
Yes, Springfield.
But that's not the correct answer anyway, though.
Hold on. Springfield is not the capital of Massachusetts.
Yes, it is.
Springfield's the capital of Illinois.
Yes.
It's not the capital of Massachusetts.
Oh, my bad. Yes. It is Boston. Yeah, that's why I teach fifth grade.
Why did you do that?
And look at you just made Chip look like a doofus because he went and bought in like hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, I was thinking, hey, Boston.
All right, so anyway.
So regardless, we were wrong.
Regardless, it is Augusta, Maine.
Oh.
Thank goodness.
Thanks for talking me out of that, guys.
You know, but Chip was right because Augusta is located like on the bottom left part, if I'm not crazy. Yeah. Now, maybe
it's
I'm crazy. I'll put a map out there.
That's what made me decide to go the other... Sorry, guys.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
We should have arm wrestled. Springfield, Massachusetts.
And I'm sitting here like, look, I'm just going to be argumentative because I don't believe I've ever heard of Springfield, Massachusetts.
There is a Springfield, Massachusetts.
All right, that aside.
At the end of round four, your scoring update, Jonathan, 110. Chip, Carmella, and Kel, 95.
Are you still eating?
No.
Good Lord, man.
I am not eating.
Samples of food.
I'm no longer eating.
It's all over your floor now.
That's Rambo will take care of that.
The cat's enjoying it. Round five, your first category, music.
Music.
Who created the Lollapalooza Music Festival in 1990 as a farewell tour for his alternative rock band?
Can I get extra points if I know the rock band?
No.
All right, I'm in.
It just gets better and better. I have no clue. This is not my strength.
Yeah, I got nothing. Cobain wasn't Cobain. It was pre-Cobain.
You don't think it was Cobain?
I know, but let's go with Cobain just because
no
I got
otherwise.
Nothing else.
I know that's not the answer, but I don't know what it is.
Well, just think of a different alternative band.
Yeah.
Who was the singer for Jane's Addiction?
Well, you could do Jane's Addiction.
Do you have to name the person or can you name the band?
You need the person who created it.
So I don't know. I don't know.
I got nothing.
They have no answer.
No.
It is the lead singer of Jane's Addiction.
Dang.
Perry Farrell.
Yes. I didn't even know his name.
Yep.
We were so close. Well, she was. I wasn't in it. I wasn't even in the same universe.
I just wanted a way to fit in that Cobain joke.
That will probably be edited out.
They hadn't
out.
Even gotten popular when he created. I mean, you said it was created in 1990?
In 90, yeah.
Yeah, the Nirvana hit in 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, sports.
So you got to have faith in yourself. I mean, you knew that it was at least Jane's Addiction. You should have been speaking up.
But you still have to get further.
No, still, though.
Oh, I was good with Jane's Addiction when it was mentioned. I'm like, oh, that's right, yeah.
Sports is your next category.
All right.
What old school National Hockey League player had the nickname The Rocket?
Is it The Rocket and not just Rocket?
The Rocket. Well, I mean, from what I recollect, they also slipped Rocket in also. So it could be interchangeable.
I can't think of the guy's name, though.
So it didn't really matter.
It does matter, darn it.
It's the guy from Jane's Addiction.
It is, yeah.
It's Rocket Ferrell, yeah. Yeah. Or it's Rocket Raccoon, perhaps.
Really?
Yeah, from
That's
Guardians.
That's what I was thinking, actually.
So, all right, I'm going to write down an answer, right? But I only know one name for the guy, and it may be his first name. It may not be his last name, and if it is, I'll be wrong. So I'm just hoping it's his first name, or I'm hoping it's his last name.
Yep, because last names count. You know that.
As a seventh generation native Floridian, I have to ask, what's ice hockey?
I tell you what, man, I was in Canada just recently, right? And SportsCenter, hockey, 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 a little bit of LeBron James, and then hockey.
Oh, that's huge.
Now, I learned a lesson a long time ago with trivia, that whenever someone asks for an old school hockey player, you always say Bobby Orr. So I think we ought to go with Bobby Orr.
Sure.
Carmella, okay. What do you think?
I have no clue about anything about hockey, so sure.
So I said Rocket Richard, but I don't know if that's his last name.
You don't know if Rocket's his last name?
No, you know what I mean.
Maurice Richard.
Yes! Oh, come on. This is not fair. Ooh.
All right, here's your last question of the round, movie storylines.
Struggling.
Identify the movie by the following storyline. Scientists in the Antarctic are confronted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of the people that it kills. What movie is it?
This feels like it was recent.
Yeah, I just asked it.
Like it just happened.
Yeah.
No, y'all have a chance to catch up here. I'm going to write it down, but it's totally wrong. All right, go ahead.
Well, there's actually two versions of this. The original version starred James Arness in one of his earlier movies in this, and he was described as a giant blood-sucking carrot by one of the characters in the movie.
Wow.
I hope this is right, because that's awesome if it's true.
The remake is the one you're talking about, and that's John Carpenter, and it takes place in the Arctic, so it's very claustrophobic because they can't escape, but the creature was called The Thing.
So, I wrote The Thing.
Yeah, you did it.
Well, whether you go with the 1982 or the 2011 remake, it is The Thing.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe I got that right.
Wait a minute. That means it was remade twice, because the James Arness version came out in the 50s, like 57.
There's an earlier version of the movie?
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I was unaware of that.
I mean, I liked the one where he got all the powers of like being Rocky and strong.
Well, no, the one I'm thinking of,
you know, as a member of the Fantastic Four.
I totally
missed it.
Come on. That's the only thing I know. I don't know where that answer. That was just a total guess.
At the end of round five, your scoring update. Chip, Carmella, and Kel with 105. Jonathan, 140.
Ooh. Y'all better get cracking. Get some crack-a-lacking.
lacking all right.
Hold on, I could take this round off.
Oh, if you feel that ballsy about it.
Please do.
All right, round six, your first category, presidents. Who was the first president elected in the 1900s?
All right, I'm in.
Who was the president after Theodore Roosevelt?
Well, actually, I think it might have been Roosevelt, and here's the reason I think so.
Roosevelt was 1899.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
But
he was inaugurated in 1900.
But here's my point on that, though. He became president as a result of assassination. of McKinley, right?
Yes.
So he was elected when he ran at the end of his first term, which he got as a result of the assassination. But if you think it was, if you're certain it wasn't Roosevelt, it would have been Taft.
I like T.R.
I think it's Roosevelt. Carmel?
Okay. I get your thinking there.
Chip, you're 100% correct. Roosevelt got the job when McKinley got assassinated. There was an election, I think, 1901, and he won that election to go from 1902 to 1906, yeah. So it would have been Roosevelt.
You guys are both wrong.
Oh, come on.
Nope. William McKinley.
What? Wait.
I thought McKinley was killed in the 1899.
I thought he was. Like what year was the election?
He was reelected in 1900.
He was reelected.
Yep, reelected.
So we can't use that millennial start on the one.
No, because it said the 1900s.
Oh, come on.
I'm stunned by this. I really thought. Man, okay.
Shocker.
I hate being wrong. All right, well, next question.
Yep, all right. Your second question of the round. Cults is the category. What Christian broadcaster and evangelist became massively famous for incorrectly predicting the end of the world several times? Most recently, October 21st, 2011.
So as a rule, I tend to tune crazy people out.
That's why I can't hear you guys.
He says responsively.
You can't see me.
You are talking into the back of a guy's head.
Could you repeat the question, Mark? I got to get my head around that one.
Yep. What Christian broadcaster and evangelist became massively famous for incorrectly predicting the end of the world several times, most recently, October 21st, 2011?
That was, if I'm right here, y'all might as well just go home because this is just sheer luck.
I'm going to drop this mic. We out.
I think it was Pat Robertson.
Pat Robertson's what I was going with, 700 Club fame.
Yep, because I don't think it was Jerry Falwell. And
Falwell's
I don't think it was
kind
Roberts.
Of fallen out of style. Okay.
He said inquisitively.
Carmel?
Well, I have no idea. So, like I said, I tend to tune people like that out. So we're going to go with what you guys think.
Pat Robertson?
I said Pat Robertson.
Yeah. Oh, nobody remembers this guy. Harold Camping.
I've never heard of him.
You've never heard of Harold Camping?
I have not.
I can't say that I have either.
Oh, I don't think he has a podcast.
No, not anymore he doesn't, because I believe he is deceased at this point.
Oh, well, maybe the so end. Of, maybe he was predicting his own end of the world.
Was he in the 701 club?
Yeah. It's the 699 because there's one less now. Because
oh,
now that's remember, mean. Oral Roberts is the one who said that if he didn't get the money, God would call him home. Remember that?
Did yes. It work?
Mm-hmm. And some guy gave him the money. So
oh, I would have called his bluff. I've been like, hey, if God needs you, go, dude, get rolling. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Last question of round six, science.
Science! Science!
Which of the five senses is less sharp after you eat too much?
What is raising his hand? You got a joke?
No, there's no joke on
your
this.
Your sense of decency?
Well, my sense of decency didn't exist.
All right, I'm in.
Mark, if you could repeat the question again, please.
Which of the five senses is less sharp after you eat too much?
Going with game theory is it can't be taste. But having said that...
Well, the reasoning behind it is something a nutritionist told me, which was your body signals to you that you're full, and the food tastes differently or tastes less good when that occurs. So that's kind of why I was going with that, because you can listen to your body. She's trying to get me to take in less calories, just in case anybody wasn't clear on that.
So you say you listen to your body, so it's a sense of hearing?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I think the sense of smell.
I think that too, because your taste and your smell is pretty interconnected.
So you guys are going with smell?
Smell.
All right.
I hate you. I said smell.
All right.
Oh, you guys both went with smell?
That means we're all wrong.
Yep. It is your sense of hearing, actually.
And I was joking
really?
About
yes.
that.
Yes. Yep.
Why?
I do not know. I knew when I looked it up before.
Maybe a blood pressure thing? I don't know.
This explains a lot about my marriage. Because as you can tell, I eat a lot. And my wife would always complain that I wasn't listening. So perhaps it was a decreased ability to listen based on my eating habits.
I don't know. I always tell my students in school, when you use your mouth, your ears don't work as well, because when you talk, you don't listen as well. So maybe there's a correlation.
Sense of hearing.
All right,
wow.
So I feel like the last round was a total tank job.
Yeah, that was a shutout on both teams.
None of us got anything right in the last
nothing.
Round?
Nothing.
Wow.
Wow.
Going into the final question, it is 105 to 140. Jonathan is in the lead.
Ooh. All right.
So he'll put down zero to guys.
Not necessarily. All right, so what's our category?
Your category is cereal.
What, like
breakfast cereal.
Like killer.
All right, we're in.
All right, your final question. Put the following cereals in order, from the earliest on the market down to the last or most recent. Kellogg's introduces Sugar Pops, now called Corn Pops. General Mills introduces Cheerios. Quaker Oats is founded. And Grape Nuts is created.
All right, I'm locked in. You guys can talk.
Grape Nuts is first.
You think it's Dadgummit?
Why not?
Have you ever tried those things?
No.
You might as well just go eat the gravel outside in the backyard.
I like Grape Nuts.
Do you?
The most fascinating you must have thing strong about teeth. That is that Sugar Pops is now called Corn Pops.
Yeah.
Corn Pops is disgusting, by the way.
You can't say sugar anymore with kids. I mean, it used to be the sweeter it was, the more kids wanted it.
What are you talking about? You have cereals called Cookie Crisp.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the best cereal ever.
The dog gets me every time.
Cookie Crisp.
Here's the thing. Quaker Oats
is old.
No, it's not that
well,
old.
Well, actually, the reason I think it is because Quaker Oats has been doing oatmeal for a long time.
It's not that old.
But it's saying Quaker Oats was founded. It doesn't say it was founded to make cereal. And I don't know if you consider oatmeal a cereal. Now, this is going to be a challenge.
But to be fair, my relative perspective of what old is probably not the same.
So what do you think, Carmelo?
You do have a great disparity in the ages on your team. The oldest is in his 60s and the youngest is in her 20s, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So you should have a good broad range of knowledge here. No pressure.
Just means we fight it out more.
No, you've been very agreeable with each other.
Well, except for what female roles play in society.
Yeah, well, the misogyny. Yeah. There's that.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, come on.
He can't help it. He doesn't know that he's doing it.
Yeah.
I can see Grape Nuts being first.
Gravel in a box.
I like Grape Nuts. Sugar Pop sounds like it would be next. Because it'd be like, hey, let's market something to kids so we can make money.
Personally, I couldn't disagree more. I think Grape Nuts is probably one of those that came out as one of these health food things later on. My position would be totally opposite of what they say. Quaker Oats, because again, I think oatmeal's been around a long time. Then,
oatmeal has been around a long time. The Quaker Oats have not, but they want to play on that whole Quaker thing. So they're making you think they've been around a long time, so you'll buy more of them.
I would go Quaker Oats, Cheerios, Sugar Pops, Grape Nuts.
So if you guys believe strongly, it's 2-1. You can overrule him.
Oh, absolutely. I won't hurt my feelings.
I am just about 98% certain Grape Nuts is the oldest. I was flip-flopping worse than most politicians between Cheerios and Sugar Pops. And then I've got Quaker Oats as being the most recent.
So we'll go. You want to go with that? I mean, you seem pretty comfortable with that. Mm-hmm.
So
let the young people decide.
We're going to go
the old fart won't.
Quaker Oats first, Sugar Pops second, Cheerios third, and did I say Grape Nuts first?
No, you said Quaker first.
Oh, son of Tatum O'Neill. Grape Nuts first, Sugar Pops second, Cheerios third, Quaker Oats fourth.
Okay. I was actually right in line with Chip's logic. The way the question was worded didn't say anything about cereal or not. It said Quaker Oats was founded, so I think that goes all the way back to the beginning. So I said Quaker Oats first. I said Cheerios second. I said Sugar Pops third. And just the same way you were thinking, I felt like Grape Nuts is an introduction of like the 50s health consciousness, and so I said Grape Nuts fourth.
So that was great because we got thrown off because he did mention manufacturers. So General Mills and all of those. So we had a Post. We had
hold
a General
on. Let's
Mills.
See what the let's see what the answer
yeah,
is.
Let's see what all the right. answer is.
Dadgum, I'm
okay.
Wrong.
Well, we don't know if you're wrong yet. You might be right.
Coming in first, 1897, Grape Nuts.
Oh.
In second, 1901, Quaker Oats.
Oh.
1941, Cheerios. And then appealing to the kids, 1951, it is Sugar Pops / Corn Pops.
Wow.
So we were both wrong.
Yep.
You bet zero, didn't you?
I bet zero.
I thought it too well.
Well,
I thought the question was going to be about how many boxes per year are each of these things sold? And I knew there was no way I was going to get anything close to getting that right. So there's no way I was betting.
Plus, you had a lead. And that
I didn't have to.
I have to tell you, I'm astounded that Grape Nuts is the oldest. I am really astounded by that.
I mean, you didn't see them on the shelves when you were born in 1906, right?
Yeah, I didn't. So, when did they come out? 1905?
There was an earthquake that year.
I was little then, though.
So, what did you guys wager?
We bet it all.
Oh.
110. Well, I mean, we had to go for it all.
Wow. You didn't have to. You could have gone.
I knew you would bet zero because you were in the lead.
Then all you had to do is bet like 40.
Well, but it doesn't matter. You can lose by 40 or you can lose by.
Yeah, but now it's a shutout. Well, it may be. Is it the first shutout?
Oh, no, come on.
As far as when I'm here, it is. Yeah.
Maybe.
In all mine.
Well, yes, it's the first shutout in which he beat three people. So, yes, it's his first shutout.
There is that. Yeah. So it's 140.
140 to nothing.
Woo.
Only because we chose not to.
Wow.
Chose to go for it all.
All right. Well, let's go ahead.
We had the testicular fortitude to put a number other than zero.
Oh,
on the paper.
Right, you know what? It's funny how the losers always start complaining when the winners bet zero. It's amazing
yes,
how
that's
that
absolutely correct.
No, you did what I expected you to do. I would have done if I was in your position. I don't like betting on those questions because I think they're very hard.
All right. Let's go ahead and close it out here. So really quick, I want to say thank you to everyone who has signed up for the Trivial Warfare Army. You can do that at www.trivialwarfare.com. Don't
Only
forget.
One of the three of us have done that.
Yeah, go figure. There's some
Mark
shame. Mark's
yep,
out
have.
There.
Yep.
Some shame in the room right now because they're literally on the show. I guess they're not going to tell anybody that they're on the show because they're not even proud enough to sign up. But when you sign up, you do get a free car magnet. You just send me your address, and I'll send you the magnet. For those of you who haven't gotten them yet, I just got them in. They're sitting right there. There's a stack of 100 of them. So I'm thinking optimistically.
See?
I have envelopes and magnets, and I'm sending those out early this week to the folks who have already signed up. The cool thing, so just so you know what it is and what you get out of joining, it's a mailing list, right? So you're going to get email from us. You're going to get two emails a month. And it's going to be a real behind-the-scenes look at what's going on. When you sign up, you're going to see our stats. So you're going to know how many downloads we're getting. You're going to see how many website hits we're getting. And I'm going to be talking to you about what the recording process was like for the given shows. But I'm also going to be telling you things like what we're trying to accomplish in the future, when we think they're going to happen, and just really give you the insider's look at what's happening with the show. So that's what you get on the newsletters. I also wanted to give a shout-out to Junior Vickers, who put an iTunes review out there. Junior Vickers had this to say on the review. Laid-back, funny, and unpretentious, Trivial Warfare brings the fun of the pub quiz into your home. I appreciate you, Junior Vickers. If you want to send me an email with your name, I'll give you a proper shout-out so that everybody knows who you are. We appreciate the review. And that was the review that put us over the top to where now iTunes actually shows how many stars we have. So it's no longer too few reviews to show. We're a 5-star show.
Terrific.
So I want to encourage anybody else who wants to go out there, pop out over to YouTube, or not YouTube, pop out over to iTunes, and just click your own little 5-star. Give us a couple more reviews, all right? We appreciate that. And so since Chris isn't here to wrap it up, I just want to say thanks again. Remember, our email address, if you want to reach out to us, is trivialwarfare@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. I guess any last words?
I always thought it was Gmail.
Yes, we're trivialwarfare@gmail.com. That's right.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This has been a very enjoyable afternoon.
I thoroughly enjoyed getting my butt handed to me.
Well, I mean, Jonathan likes handing butts.
I enjoyed it less, but it was still fun.
That's right. I've grown accustomed to butt handing.
Yeah.
That sounds so gross. Yeah. Do you remember Mallrats? The stink poem?
Yeah.
That's genius. Yes. I'm gonna put that scene out on the show notes. The stink poem scene. That's fantastic. All right. Without further ado, thanks again for listening, guys. What is the line? Remember, this is Trivial Warfare. It is not just trivia. It is war. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
So long.
All right, Mark, take us away.
You want me to keep score today?
Do you want me to, or can you handle it?
Dude, I teach math. I can handle keeping
score. Yeah, but I've
score.
Been to your games where you didn't have a scorekeeper, and it didn't end up that well. So
No, you've been to the games where Laura keeps score, and that's where it goes wrong.
So just in case y'all didn't notice, he just busted out his wife.
Okay, that's not going
on the show,
anywhere
which is absolutely going to stay in the show.
That is not.